What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, it's a story that is a lot different than many that you've heard before. We often talk to athletes on this show who have been through the storm and then persevere, and then they have their moment on the field or their moment on the court, and they win a Super Bowl or something big happens. Today, we're going to talk to a young man named Kadarian Hill, KD Hill. He was a football player at Ole Miss, and he was projected to be a professional NFL player. Like, he got invites to camp. He was ready to go to training camp in the summer of 2023. He was on pace to go and play professional football, which is his dream. This man also loves Jesus. He's deeply rooted in his faith. And that was put to the test on July 21st, 2023, less than a year ago. He was driving down in Alabama and gets in a terrible accident, to the point where his right leg needed to be amputated. He went through a bunch of surgeries. He had just become a father to a baby, you know, a couple months old at the time of his accident. And he almost died. And so his dream to be a professional football player, it's not going to happen now because he lost his right leg. But he calls that moment something bigger and better that God had in store for him. And I just shake my head when I hear that. But when you listen to KD Hill share his story, you're going to see why. His faith in God, his deep-rooted faith in the Lord, is carrying him through to a greater purpose. Kadarian KD Hill is coming up in just a moment. It's a powerful, powerful story here on Sports Spectrum. Before we get to that, I just want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. Go to sportspectrum.com right now and read stories like KD Hill's. And you can get the magazine, have it delivered to your house. It's a quarterly magazine, four times a year. Faith-filled, family-friendly content, Jesus-centered content, clean content in the world of sports. Perfect for the kiddos, perfect for the families, perfect for you. If you love to read about sports and Jesus. We got devotionals in these magazines. We got stories that you can't read anywhere else. You can subscribe right now over at sportspectrum.com. Sportspectrum.com, that's the website. When you order a one-year subscription and when you check out, put in the code PODCAST15. Exclusive to podcast listeners only, you can get 15% off a one-year subscription to the magazine. Use the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15. Save 15% off and subscribe today to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that at sportspectrum.com. Well, it's great to have Kadarian KD Hill here today on Sports Spectrum, former Ole Miss football player. KD, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you. So good to meet you. And your conversation, or your story, I should say, is an important one in this conversation to have. We're going to talk about everything that happened last July in a second. But I want to ask you about Christ in your life before July 21st, 2023. Who was Christ in the life of KD Hill prior to everything that took place last July?
Well, Jesus always been the head of my household. I was actually on the lead team of FCA at Ole Miss, and I accepted Christ heading into my eighth grade year in middle school that summer. I remember like it was yesterday. We was having a revival, and he pulled me out into the hallway, and I told my mom I was actually sitting with my friends, and something just pulled me out into the hallway and just walked me down the aisle, and I got saved. And just having the memory of me and my grandfather fishing. And I said, "Grandfather, you got to have faith the size of a mustard seed," because we wasn't catching any fish that day. And after I said that, we caught multiple fish. And Wow. That was just an eye-opening experience with faith as well. So as you all know, faith is very important to me, especially through my situation from July 21st. And so God has always been head of my household. And like I always tell people, he molded and equipped me for July 21st, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. And I truly believe that I'm going to do great works and he's going to use me to continue to glorify him and give him all the credit.
Praise God. That's great to hear. When did you realize football was something you were not only interested in, but something you were also pretty good at as well.
I realized that at an early age in fifth grade. Always been the biggest in my class. I actually, a lot of people know this story by now. My mom, she used to actually let me tackle her when I was in fifth grade, learning how to play football. Wow. So my mom is a big part of my success with the game of sports.
Wow. Mom, of all people, how did that catapult you? Because in fifth grade, everybody thinks they're good, or everybody thinks that they can get to the pros someday or whatever. But there's a moment probably in high school, I'm imagining, or early part of high school, where not only were you big, but you were pretty good and the recruiting started to happen, because to play at Ole Miss, you got to be pretty good.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, as a young kid, you got to dream big. I never let no one stop me from believing in my dreams. I always dreamed big, and what the naysayers had to say or the haters, I just continued to go. And my mom always would encourage me. And I knew if I had my mom, that's all that mattered. If I knew if I had my family behind me, that's all that mattered. And most importantly, if I believed in myself, I couldn't be stopped. And so I really realized that I was really good when I was in middle school. I say about seventh grade, I started every single year I played football. And ninth grade came around, I talked on the phone with Gus Malzahn. Kirby Smart came to see me, and I received my first offer in 10th grade from Troy University. And after that, everything just skyrocketed. And thanks to Coach Neil Brown for my first offer. I remember like it was yesterday.
Wow. What was that like, having all these coaches and recruits coming at you? And obviously you said Jesus, you know, was the head of your household. But you can get caught up sometimes when everybody's touting you and patting you on the back and saying, you gotta come to our school and play. You're amazing, KD. What was that like, being recruited and all the different coaches that came to check you out?
Well, I knew everything that I worked for, I was living in that moment. I couldn't take it for granted, because I was always prayed to be in the position I was in. And I knew that if I took it for granted, God could always take it away from me. And so I always knew that my help and my strength came from the Lord. So I continued to give him all the glory when I would succeed on and off the field, because I always looked at myself more than an athlete. I looked at myself as being here for a purpose. As you all know, I'm a motivational speaker now. So when football ended, it wasn't about football. It was something bigger than that. It was bigger than the game. It was my purpose and my why. And that is why I continue to give it my all every single day.
I love that. You chose Ole Miss. Why Ole Miss? And describe your time being a Rebel.
Family atmosphere. Me being from Eufaula, Alabama, a small town just like Oxford, Mississippi, remind me of the country. And I'm not a city guy, so I like to be in a small town. And just what they were building there, as you know, Coach Kiffin has built a wonderful program there. And I was blessed to be the foundation of something. And learning about the Chuckie Mullers Award, when I first committed there, I said I was going to win the Chuckie Mullers Award. And my senior season, I won. And so everything that I wanted to accomplish in life, it has came forth. Me wanting to go to the NFL has came forth. I attended the New York Jets and the Bills rookie minicamp. Not a lot of young men can say they've done those things, but God showed his grace and mercy upon my life and blessed me with those opportunities. I was drafted by the Orlando Guardians in the XFL. And he showed me through adversity my purpose. And so I continue to give it my all each day, because he died on the cross for us and he rose in 3 days. So why can I not give him my all every single day, and just to show gratitude and thanks, just to wake up with breath in my body, because that's another opportunity to praise him and continue to give it my all.
I think when people hear what you're about to share, KD Hill, they're going to say, really? This guy's still praising Jesus? This guy is still trusting in God? Because what you went through on July 21st, 2023, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Can you tell us what happened? Describe, maybe take us to the moments before what was happening that day, and then actually what took place.
Well, actually, it was a typical day for me. I was used to the grind. I was working from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m. every morning. Barely getting enough sleep, working out every single day. My strength coach at the time where I was training at didn't even know I was working late, like night shift, because every day I came with the energy and I was outworking every single body. And so that just shows you the type of guy I am. I have a son that's 1 year old now, and it always been bigger than me. And one day he's going to face adversity. And not only is he going to hear the things I've done, but he's going to witness it personally. And so just a typical day. And that night I had woke up, got ready. It was a hot summer, and just loaded the truck. The mindset I always had, I had to do it to the best of my ability. No matter what I was doing, I wanted to make sure I was doing it correct and giving it my all. That's what I've done all my life. Anything I've done, I gave it my all. And so that morning, we finished everything with unloading the truck and everything, and it was raining, and I had my accident, and I woke up, and all I could do was call on Jesus in that time. I reached for my phone. I felt my leg, and I looked down, and I noticed at that time my leg was smashed, and it was pinned because I felt blood on my hand. And at that time, I just laid my head on the steering wheel and began to call on Jesus. And as soon, about 10 minutes passed, the state trooper arrived on the scene. He didn't even know that I was alive because he couldn't see me, because my side of the truck was inside the tree. The picture that you see of the truck is when they pulled the truck out the tree, when I was finally out the truck after being trapped for 5 hours. Wow. And the moment he came around the truck, he said, "Can you hold your hand out the window?" And I started tapping on the mirror, and I said, "Sir," I said, "can you hold my hand? Let's pray." Wow. And so that lets you know where my faith stands and my foundation. It says in the Bible, don't be like the foolish man that built his house on the sand, but be like the wise man that built his house on the rock. I knew that God, he didn't bring me this far to leave me. And if I was alive this far, I knew that I was going to make it out. So I put my trust in the Lord, and he encamped his angels around us. And that entire time, not once did I shed a tear. They didn't call my mom until 3 hours being trapped in the truck. And when they said, "We're going to have to amputate your leg, sir," I said, "Let's do it." I didn't think nothing twice. I didn't think about the game of football. I thought about my son and my mom, because I knew that it was bigger than me. I was just grateful to still be alive. And so you can't take it for granted just to wake up with breath in your body each and every day, because someone is on their deathbed. So just don't take it for granted. No matter the situations you're in, the circumstances, you are here for a reason, because God is not done with you yet. You still have purpose here on this earth. Wow. And as you all know, the next day I walked after my accident, because like I said, it wasn't about football for me. It was bigger than football. Yeah. It was about my why and my purpose here on earth. And so through all of my adversity, I found my purpose. And I talked about God equipping us and molding us. He had already equipped and molded me for July 21st. Before that, I used to be in Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher used to make me get up and speak in front of everyone in church. I was on the lead team of FCA. I mentor to the kids of Oxford every week, Boys and Girls Club, Oxford Housing Authority. So God was already preparing me. Not once did I know at an early age that I was going to go into motivational speaking and one day ministry at 23 years old. But now I see that his plans are always better than ours. His plans are not meant to harm us, but to prosper us and give us hope and a future. And if you continue to put your trust in him, he will guide you along the best pathway for your life.
Wow. Man, KD, that alone, we could just stop the interview here. But I do have some follow-up questions, because that's powerful, bro. I mean, I just think about, you know, you're what, 20? You're 23 right now. So you were just turned 23 into that accident in July of 2023. You know, your whole future is ahead of you, and it still is, right? But in the moment where you're in an accident, and just describe it real quick. You're just driving in a truck, and then you lost control. Was it weather or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was raining. Yes, sir.
Weather, rain, you hit the tree, and you hit it not in a good way. And you probably knew that, but yet there's still a peace. Like when I hear you describe this whole thing, there is that peace that the Bible talks about that surpasses all understanding. And it just really surpasses a lot of understanding when I listen to you describe it, because in that moment, sometimes we go into shock. I'm just in talking to other people. I've not experienced a trauma like this, but some people go into shock. Some people go into fear that might grip them, might go a little, you know, hallucination, like scary moments, and they're screaming and yelling, "Help, help," whatever. And it sounds like that wasn't the case with you. You were at peace. Even though you knew it was bad, there was a peace the whole time.
Yes, sir. So when you talk about that, that makes me think about when Jesus was in a boat in the storms and he was sleeping. And what the disciples didn't realize was they were so focused on the distractions around them, the storms, but they didn't understand that they had the Son of God sitting in the boat, and he was asleep at that time.
Yeah.
And once they woke him up, he said, "Peace, be still," to the storms. And so when you have peace in the Lord and when you trust in the Lord, he will bring peace in your life. And so at that time, all I said was a simple prayer. God, encamp these angels all around me, because I had faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith is powerful. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so just that small faith I had, it showed God that I trusted him when I was looking death in his eyes at the age of 23 years old. And I knew that I was going to have a promising career in the NFL. I knew that I was going to be in a training camp in August. But not once did my faith waver. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the fire untouched. When King Nebuchadnezzar told them, he gave them an option. He said, to praise my God, and if you don't, I will throw you in a fiery furnace. They said, my God can save us. He can save us from your power. And if he don't save us, I will still praise our God. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't let their faith waver when they was in the midst of trials and tribulations. And so there's many stories about faith in the Bible. You got Moses and the Israelites as they were fleeing from Egypt, when they were between the Red Sea and Pharaoh. And Moses, God made a way for Moses. And so when you're going through trials and tribulations in your life, you can always go back to the Bible, because there's so much you can learn in the Bible, because he's the same guy he was back then. And so he'll never change. He'll never leave you nor forsaken you. All you have to do is trust him. See those things as if they exist. Speak those things before they become a reality. And it's all about faith. And if you continue to hope, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen.
That's right.
If you have the desire, you got the power to get it. You have the power to get anything you want in life. But I can tell you something. Sometimes that blessing that we want, sometimes God don't want that for us, because he got something bigger and better for us. And sometimes we don't understand that, because we want everything now. You can't be that way, because sometimes you'll miss out on the importance.
Yeah.
You got to focus on where your feet at today. Just focus on where your feet at today and let God handle the rest. That's all he wants you to do. Trust him. Trust him through the whole storm, because the storm is not meant to hurt you. It's meant to show you things that you never knew you had inside of you.
Hmm.
And that's the powerful thing about the storm.
You went through a storm, KD Hill, and you've come out of it pretty. I mean, this is just awesome to hear what you're saying, because it's still very raw and fresh. This is less than a year ago. You could have easily said, oh, why me? Why me? And it sounds like you say, why not me? And you're seeing this as, yeah, try me. Even better, try me. Because you talk about this as something bigger and better, God's plan. The world looking at you and hearing your story, and there's such a very visual component when you speak, because your leg is gone. They're not saying this is bigger and better, most people. But you're seeing it as bigger and better, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Most definitely. It says that if Jesus suffered, we shall suffer too. And after we have suffered, we will see the glory and the goodness of the Lord. And I truly believe that, because he's a God of his promises. He keeps his promises. I think about Joseph. It took 13 years for Joseph to finally see that original vision which God had given him back when he was younger. Joseph had to go through slavery. Joseph had to be in prison. Not once did his faith waver. He knew that God was going to keep his promise from the visions he had given him. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but if he knew, if he continued to press forward and move forward and not dwell on the past, God was going to deliver him. And that's what God did. After his brothers came back and saw him, they didn't know who Joseph was. They didn't know who Joseph was, because Joseph didn't look like what he had gone through.
Yeah.
So if you put your trust in the Lord, you won't look like the storm you just walked out of. And that's what happened to me. It hasn't even been a full year. And I look stronger physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's what he does.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. Did you ever find yourself doubting God at all? Like, was there a moment where you allowed yourself to be vulnerable and just say, why God? Because I think that's healthy and that's okay. I don't think we never doubt who God is. But sometimes we got a question like, what are you trying to do here? Like, I didn't want to lose my leg. Did you ever have a moment like that at all?
So actually, This is the honest truth. While I was in the hospital, I went through seven surgeries, and in 2 weeks, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, went through seven surgeries. I had five blood transfusions total. Every other night I was on the oxygen mask because my oxygen levels were really low. Before each surgery, I would tell the doctors and the surgeons, pray over me because I want God and his angels and his presence to be felt in this room. I
Wow.
said, don't touch me until you all pray over me. And after each surgery, I would pray with the people that had just came out of surgery next to me. While they were complaining and crying, I was praying with them and letting them know that everything was going to be okay. And these people were older than me. And so the whole time, my faith did not waver. I had a pillow that a friend made for me, her mother made. It was Psalms 121, verse 1 through 2. I will lift my eyes up upon the hills from which cometh my strength. My strength comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The day my accident happened, after my second surgery that day, my mom came in the room with a Bible about this thick. I said, feed my spirit, mama. I told her that every day as I cried, I said, feed my spirit, mama. Because I knew that God had me here for a purpose. Because I known what I had went through. 5 hours, like you said, most people would have went into shock. Not once did I cry. I stayed up the entire 5 hours. I remember the doctor coming on the scene, cutting my leg. I made eye contact with him. He said, you ready to get out? I said, yes, sir. I remember everything vividly. And that's what God does in your life. And so that lets me know that I am here for a purpose. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the things he's going to do for me. But not only for me, but the people that are connected to me. My descendants. I'm thinking about my son. I'm thinking about something way bigger than me. This is not about me. This is about God. So anytime I get the opportunity to tell my story, I want to share his glory over my life and let others know that he would do the same for you. Because if he did it for me, what made me different from you? We all sin. None of us are perfect. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. That's just who he is.
Yeah. It's your story, his glory. I love that. Who is Christ now? So I opened this with Christ in the life of Katie Hill before July 21st. Who is he now? It sounds like he's the same, but I'm sure there's a little bit different or renewed purpose and mindset in who Christ is on the other side of going through this storm. So who is he now to you, Katie?
Most importantly, he's my father.
Yeah.
He's my father. He's my protector. He's my provider. He is who he say he is. And that's all I gotta say. He is who he say he is. He is the I am. That's who he is.
I mean, I love that simple answer. So you write on Instagram, "In everything I do, I will glorify God." How has that motto now given you this kind of renewed purpose in life since everything that took place last July?
All gas, no brakes. I don't stop.
I
I
like that.
110% in everything that I do. I work out every day. I do it for the Lord. I was listening to my gospel this morning. Almost had tears in my eyes. I had about five reps left. I said, I got to do this for Jesus. I kept pushing. So in everything that I do, I would do it to glorify God. Raising my son up, I want to raise him up in a manner that he becomes a God-fearing young man and respectful. And most of all, that I help him find his purpose in life and to let him know that don't put your identity in sports. Because when we all go to the Lord one day, he's not going to worry about what we've done on the field or the court. What did you do to help someone get to know him? Did you find your purpose?
Have you seen this opportunity now with athletes? Because you said you were at FCA, helping FCA out at Ole Miss, and FCA is such a great ministry, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That means you're working with other athletes when you're leading FCA. And obviously the accident hadn't happened yet, but now the accident's happened. And if your identity wasn't football, KD, I think you know this. I don't know if you've been able to say all the things that you're saying on this show, because that identity, if that's your God, if football was your God, you would have lost everything, right? And how quickly that was taken away from you. But have you had a chance?
Sir.
Have you had a chance to talk to other athletes since the accident and kind of share about this identity? Because that's the biggest struggle with athletes anyways. But now this is someone like yourself who this was taken away from. And praise God that your identity was not in football, because that's gone.
Yes, sir. And I feel like that's where some athletes, the sport's gone, they don't have that foundation with Christ. But as you see, if you have that foundation with Christ, your faith would not waver. And so through my accident, everything that has happened, I have found three things that we encounter in life. And I'm actually speaking on this Sunday.
Okay.
The process, time, and purpose, PTP. So you will have to go through the process, because you will have to be equipped and molded for what lies ahead. The time is going to happen on time, not our time, but he's an on time God, and he knows when that time is. And the purpose, that is the best thing that you will find on this earth, is your purpose. And so that's three things that I encountered since my accident: the process, the time, and the purpose. And that is why we're here. We have to go through the suffering. There's a time when we will reap what we sow. And through all of that, you will find your purpose in life.
When did you realize that God was opening up a door for you to speak? You said you're speaking on Sunday. When did you realize, and maybe it was even sitting in that truck, I don't know, but when did you realize that God was going to use this as a way for you to be, I don't even call you a motivational speaker. You're certainly motivating a lot of people. But you're an inspirational speaker. You're a purpose-driven speaker. You're preaching in many ways. When did you realize that going through what you went through less than a year ago was going to open up doors for you now to share this story to help others?
The moment I woke up from my first surgery in the hospital and my mom had that Bible, I knew that God had something greater for me.
Wow.
I made videos the whole time as I was in the hospital, encouraging others. As my right leg was amputated, as I knew that football was over for me, I still encourage others in spite of the pain that I was going through. Not because of me, because it's bigger than me. It's about God. My son, one day he's going to go through adversity. One day he's going to watch everything his father has done, and he's going to know Dad didn't do that for himself.
It's powerful, man. All right, well, as we wind down, you know, there's a book that's in the works now, opportunities to speak. You mentioned ministry. Could I see in a few years, like Pastor K.D. Hill? Is that something you're thinking about?
Well, when he calls me, I will come. Whenever he calls me, I will come.
Yeah, you say yes.
But as of now, I had someone ask me, do you consider yourself preaching? And I said, I'm not a preacher, but I do ministry. I do talk about the word of God. I do share the gospel through my speaking. And I always told my mom, no matter what, I'm going to always give God the glory and thanks when I speak, because I know that he was the one that saved my life. And he has been around me and holding me in the palm of his hand since I was a little baby.
Wow. Imagine the stories that you're going to hear from people as they hear your story. And yeah, there might be some sorrow or pity. I feel so bad for Katie. He lost his leg. But can you imagine the angels rejoicing in heaven from the people that come to Christ because you had to get stuck in that truck in that accident? I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it, man.
I think about that all the time. The many people that I'm helping get to know God, I know he's smiling down on me. And I'm just happy that I'm able to share his words and to glorify him in everything that I do, because he has given me this powerful story on purpose. He had July 21st circled on the map.
Yeah.
Before I was in my mother's womb, he knew that day was coming, and he knew that I was well equipped. He knew what the devil had for me couldn't stop me, because he knew I was deeply rooted in the word.
Your last name is quite the interesting last name when you think about your story, Hill, right?
Hill.
Like God gave you this hill to climb, and it's an uphill climb, which is, I think, what you're going to call your book.
Yes, sir.
But man, I'm so impressed by not just by your positive attitude. I think that's a cliche word to say, But by how rooted you are, you use that word, how rooted you are in Christ. And I think, man, if people listening can grasp what a relationship, a deep rooted relationship in Christ can bring, it can bring joy and peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. It can bring you a peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of an accident like you went through, KD. You're awesome, buddy. Thanks so much for sharing your story. I want to have you back on in a year or two and just kind of hear what the Lord's been doing, because I think you know this, you already said this, whatever he has for me, open hands, right?
You just said it. I just heard Inky Johnson talk about this yesterday. Many of us, we have our hands open when we receive the blessing, but sometimes we find ourselves closing our hands and it stops us from receiving blessings. Mm-hmm. So you got to continue to keep your hands open.
That's good. By the way, Inky Johnson, he went through his storm. You and him have a lot of parallels. I could see you being a similar voice in the space of encouraging people and using your trial and the test that God gave you as your testimony to share with others. So you're great, KD. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy. I appreciate you. Continued blessings, and can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Jason, again, for this amazing opportunity, and I hope that it impact at least one person. If it impact one person, I've done my job. So thank you.
I know it will. Thanks, buddy. And many thanks to Kadarian K.D. Hill for sharing that very powerful story here on Sports Spectrum. We haven't had a story like that in a long time in the 7 years I've done this show, and he might be the most impressive young man I've ever talked to. At just 23, almost 24 years old. And KD Hill, man, the NFL draft's just in a few days here. And I'm sure KD Hill was thinking about the NFL and had these NFL dreams. And now God has given him this storm to walk through and taken away his leg and using him now for a greater purpose. If you want to have KD Hill come and share his story at your church or your conference, man, reach out to me. I'd love to connect you with him. Again, just 23 years old. And how impressive is this young man in understanding that his storm that he went through can be used as a way to point people to Jesus. It's powerful. It's very powerful. I was so impressed with this young man. I spent a couple minutes after just telling him, like, I can't wait to have him back on in a couple years and see where the Lord is going to take this man. I could see him being a pastor. I could see him being certainly a motivational speaker, which he already is, having his book written. It's just powerful, really, when I think about KD Hill, the man, the dad, you know, dad now to a year-old baby, year-old son. Man, God has great plans for that young man. And I'm so glad he shared his story here today on Sports Spectrum. We're so glad you tuned in as well. We love you guys. We're so glad that you think Sports Spectrum is a place that you want to invest even 30 minutes to listen to KD Hill's story. It means so much to us. You guys are great ambassadors for Sports Spectrum simply by telling other people about it. And our goal has always been with Sports Spectrum to keep Jesus in the sports conversation and point people back to the hope that's found only in him. Not in sports, it's not in these athletes, it's not certainly in anything I say or do, or even this show. The hope is found in Christ. That's where our hope is found. The way, the truth, the life, Jesus. And so we love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. And we can't wait to see you next time with another episode of the Sports Spectrum podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.